KBPS broadcasting students at Benson Tech, on air since 1923. KBPS is the voice of Portland Public Schools. Thank you to our supporters, partners, and listeners like you. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available online at kbps.am. That's kbps.am.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM on your radio. Your spot for Cajun and Zydeco music. Bon ton roulet.
Hi, this is Cecil Prescott. Celeste Carey and I are the co-hosts for More Talk Radio, which airs on KBOO FM 90.7 on Mondays at 8 a.m. For 30 years, Celeste and I have been encouraging and engaging interviews and conversations about politics, social issues, and things which concerns you, your family, and your community. Join us on Mondays at 8 a.m. and be a part of this community radio experience.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from the Urban League of Portland, celebrating its 80th anniversary as a local civil rights organization. Urban League PDX provides housing, education, healthcare, and career services to local communities. Membership information is available at ulpdx.org.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0.
Never been done before talking about a subject.
KVD Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Joining us today is somebody whose name we have mentioned almost the entirety of our show. We've been on 20 years, and we have often paid homage, gave updates, and talked about the plight of freedom fighter Lenny Peltier. We're happy to have him this afternoon. I want to thank DJ Leonard, who was frequent guest on our show, for connecting us. First of all, welcome home. I know a lot of people say that to you, and we're glad to have you. Nice. The obvious question that I want to ask you is, with the sacrifice that you made and you being a symbol of resistance for so many, how do you feel things are right now at this current state? Have we gone forward? Have we gone backwards? What do you think is needs to be done moving forward?
Let me say hello first. This is Leonard Peltier, and I am on the Turtle Mountain Chippewa Cree Nation, and I'm glad to be home, of course. And it's although I'm on house arrest, like care, and it's still it's a million times better than that cell. So I'm grateful to be home, and I want to say thank you to all of you that have listened to the show and have done some help to help me, and I am very grateful to everybody. But it's I got to admit, it's kind of sad to come home to the situation America's in now, and possibly the world. There's a good possibility we might end up getting into a nuclear war. Nobody's going to win the nuclear war, neither us or whoever we're going to fight with. And because all they need is one or two bombs to get in, and they will, to get into America, and it's going to, the destruction is going to be phenomenal, and the death is going to be enormous. So the situations today seem a little more dangerous, let's say, and of losing what freedom we have left, and turning into a possible fascist country that's trying to take over. So we can be, it's everybody out there better get together, better start uniting. We got a chance of stopping it in the next year in the midterm elections. And we got to put in there, even though I'm not that crazy about the Democrats, because they could have done a lot better with beside Kamala, who didn't have a chance anyway. I didn't believe it from the start when she first got nominated. I said, she's not going to win. She was a U.S. attorney. She was making some horrid statements about one of them that was, I know it was seriously damaged. There was a statement that it don't matter of if you were wrongfully convicted. Once you got a trial, it was over. Didn't matter if it was a bad trial or whatever. And I'm sure, I don't know, all the people I talked to, they remembered that and everything. They said, we're not going to vote for somebody like that. Nor did she make any statements against what the Jews are doing in Gaza. They're killing women and children over there, babies, unborn babies, and destroying that whole country. And, you know, it's not all Jews like that.
Right.
There's Jews fighting it themselves. We're not hearing anything about it. But I don't want the world to know it's not all Jews are behind Newton Otto.
Right. Well, we're talking about the Zionist, you know, project. Yeah. Is the one that has been destroying Gaza. Let me ask you this, Leonard Peltier. We've often talked to people who have looked to move away from the Western ideology, you know, the type of things that have, quote unquote, made America great. And folks said, let's go back to indigenous ways. Let's go back to ancestral ways. Let's find our spirituality. Let's find other ways in which we communicate with one another. Those types of, you know, practices and understandings. First, how have you been able to use those to maintain during the time you were incarcerated in looking at things now? And is that something that we should really be sincere, you know, seriously embracing and digging even deeper into, you know, those type of indigenous and ancestral practices to move forward?
Well, one of the things that we got to understand and is that we can never go back to the way time was. That's out. But we can move forward in like our people were doing anyway. They were moving forward each generation that went by. you know, we actually were more advanced than Europe was. We had the best agricultural system, the best health system, farming. We had irrigation, and we were moving forward because we had the best in the world, the health system. Nobody was sick here. Over in Europe, they had a plague that was, 150 million people died, and that's probably a real low number, because they're not going to tell the world that they had twice that number or whatever it was. And agriculture. All the vegetables that you eat on the table today, they came from here. We had domesticated those and planted those, and many other difference. We were, we got monuments that are still up that we built. That's not savages. That's not uncivilized people, and this whole continent. And we would like to, but unfortunately, I don't think it's possible for us to get back all of our land. But there is some land that's in control of the government. We can get that land back because it actually belongs to us. But we have to join in unity. We cannot do it alone. And that's uniting with everybody, every race in the United States, because almost every race supports us anyway. So we have that's the only thing that we can hope to get back. And there's millions and millions of acres of land that we could still get back. And I mean, that's what reality is. And that's what we got to take. We got to make our goals for to get the land back that's available. Yeah.
I hear you on the talk about land back, and I think that is definitely, I think everybody listening would agree. Mm-hmm. Spirituality, though, how do we look at that at this point in time? You know, is there another level that we should be striving for? Is there another approach to looking at that? And I ask that because that is something that people are kind of looking at and trying to figure out, you know.
I don't understand the question. What do you mean? They want to go back to just religion, just strictly religion?
No, I mean...
That's never worked either for them. You know, that's where they ran away from Europe.
I'm talking about us who are oppressed.
In our governments was real separation between government and church. Let's say church, a religion. Native people, that's the way we practice. Our religion did not control us. Our governments.
If you read Benjamin Franklin's statement, as you know, he wrote the Articles of Confederacy here in America. He wrote a letter to the people that were all organizing the system that was America's run after today, and he said they would be surprised to know that this so-called savages was able to create a system that was separation of church and government and had operated for perhaps a million, thousands of years. That come from us.
Right.
That was our philosophy. Why would he write something like that if it wasn't true? So we know it's true. And I think that's the route we're going to continue. We can't have our religion control our philosophies of government, and
right. I framed the question wrong. But what I was, I'm looking at a time where we're now having, you know, culture being erased. You know, I mean, that's always been the case, but even more so now. You know, we can't get our history books being banned. And that is, of course, piqued the curiosity. People are now
That's
trying
always
to...
been the philosophy of religious governments. Book banning and all everything they want everything to be controlled by them. The Christian have been doing this for what thousands since Jesus' time now, and that ain't worked, and it's not going to work, because you know, that's not the teachings of the Creator. I'm positive of that, and right. we can't let them come back in and or like they did in Europe. And I don't think we should let it happen here. Because you've got to remember, there's this a group of Christians that still are in control, in operation. And from I just watching this interview a couple months ago, I think it was on CNN. He was on the CNN show. He said they're growing. They're growing. They're building more churches around the country and stuff like this. These are the people that want to put women back in the kitchen, they called it. They can't vote no more. They can't own businesses no more. And they're growing. Wait a minute. You know, I mean, that's not the teachings of our people. Women controlled, a lot of them, clan mothers controlled the tribes. They're the only ones who could declare war. And the women had more... power than some of the men, or most of the men, were they're the only ones that could divorce. They're, you know, I mean, women play a big role in Native culture in the families. They control that teepee. That the husband wasn't providing enough, he had to go. You know, where now this church is trying to, I forget the name of it. But this sect of Christian religion, this is 2005. I think these people were gone a long time ago, but here's this guy on TV. We are growing. Right. We are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they want to put the women back so they couldn't vote. They couldn't own businesses. Back into, to him, back in the kitchen. You know.
Well, you know, just that type of history that you just shared to me is the type of history that we should go back and build upon. And that's what I meant when I was asking the question.
Build a farm?
You know, whether it's returning to land, whether it's, you know, understanding that there's equality among genders. You know, those type of practices is what I'm talking about at a time when, you know, it's counter to what is being forced upon us. It's counter to the type of normalization of oppression under the guise of it being freedom. So I'm glad you shared that history. I think it goes a long way with people when they hear it coming from somebody like you, because they respect and they understand. And it's counter to the type of normalization that is taking place, where somebody would see this type of church that you just described as something that's a good thing, which is crazy to me.
It's been at least 2 months ago on CNN. This guy was on, they did a program on this, this, on different things like this. And you'll know the name of that church.
Yeah.
You'll see him talking on there. He was one of the last ones to talk on the church. And telling about how fast they were growing and how big they were growing. And
right.
I mean, I was shocked. I said, what? You want to treat the women like that? Go back to those days? But that was in our history, in our culture. He didn't treat the women like that. And that's a fact. Native people never treated their mothers and daughters and wives like that. They didn't do that, and we're not going to go back to that. I know that. As long as Ames got something to say here, the American Indian movement, we're not going to go back to those days. That was the Europeans' teachings, and that was that. That's just not going to happen. By the way. I'm changing and reinforcing the movement that we change our names from the American Indian Movement to the American Indigenous Movement. Because we're not Indians.
we are not from India, and we're moving, and that's moving pretty fast. It's not that big of a change, but it's we want to eliminate the word India.
I think it's important. Let me ask you this. The other day, we lost somebody who I think for many people also symbolized resistance. We're talking about Assata Shakur. Your name and her name and Mumia's name always came up, and that's been like symbols of resistance. First of all, did you know Assata? Your thoughts on her passing and the connection between AIM and the Black Liberation Struggle?
For over 50 years, I was just as saddened as everybody else because she's like a sister to me. It's sad that she had to stay away from her family at the time of her passing. And I mean, the people that were responsible for this. Well, it's not surprising. You know, they tried to kill me by making me die in a cell. And I was exonerated at least 14 times with constitutional violations. And so I know how cruel they are, but I've known this. I knew this before I even got involved or ended up in prison on discharge. I knew the history of my people and of what they did to us and the atrocities and massacres. And it wasn't surprising to me. And I kept my strength and was just as defiant as always. I would not give up. I could have gave up about 30 years ago. They said, if you admit to being guilty of that and made statements that the government didn't really do the things we were claiming they were doing, but was good to us and saved us from savagery and shit like this, I told them to go f*** themselves. I was not going to... I was not going to do that. I was not a traitor, and I kept my strength and defiance all the way to, even as I was walking out, I think you'll see me in some of my statements I made. I'm not going to die this way. I'm going to get, and then I see her, she had to, I don't know if they'll even let her body come back now. I don't know. I probably won't, especially under Trump. He's trying to go after all the black politicians. I think you guys know that, know that, you know. And that's what they get for voting for the devil.
Real talk. What was the connection between AIM and the Black Liberation Struggle, and what do you think it should be moving forward? I know you said unite, but how did you all break bread back in the days, and how has that evolved over the years?
Well, we just met with them in a lot of places where we were invited. See, the American Indian Movement cannot go into any Native community and start dictating their policies. We cannot do that. We're not that type of organization. We can only go in if we're invited by the traditionalists, our tribal governments. Of course, the tribal governments back in them days didn't want us anywhere near the nation, because they were corrupt and they were stealing and they were doing everything, you know, everything we were fighting against. But and it's still the same today. As long as I'm around, the Native American is not going to go in and just start dictating our policy to any Native nation or any other group. We have to be invited first, legitimately too, you know. And but those policies are going to continue as long as I'm under leadership of the American Indian Movement.
Real talk. You know, right now, with everything that is coming down the pipe, what are two or three things that you would say to a younger generation that we should do, strategic-wise or philosophically or anything like that, with, you know, you said you're looking towards, you know, trying to make sure that there's some sort of stopgap before the midterm elections, but what should we be doing, you know, in struggle over the next couple of years?
Well, as I said, one of the main things is we've got to
we got to make sure our unity is solid. And
when we say unity, I already see
a lot of areas where they're successful, like in LA. LA was able to run out ISIS, and from what I've heard in news media's I caught, and that's the type of thing I'm talking about. Unity about that, like that. We, as you see, he's trying to go after every democratic government, state government that voted against him, and he's trying to break that up by he's trying to punish him for not voting for him by these tactics of bringing in the army and stuff, which is illegal now. That's totally illegal. You know, he should be arrested. He should be definitely arrested. That's what people are going to start calling for, his arrest for violating the Constitution of the United States, him and his cronies that are pushing this. He's not the only one pushing them now. You got that whole party. They're all a bunch of fascists. We gotta understand that. There might be a few, one and two are here every now and then. Every place might not be. But the majority of them are the fascists. And we got to unite under this. We can do it. We did it under Nixon. We did it back in the 68s. You know, I was there, by the way, the Chicago riots, they called it. You know, and all those other marches that we had. We were in Seattle, and there was a march there, 50,000 of us was in the streets. You know, so we need that type of... And even larger of demonstrations and voting in people that don't believe in their philosophy, and you know, especially in these special elections and stuff. So we got to send a signal to him. This it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
No. I hear you. I was going to ask, what does solidarity look like? You know, to you, is it just us getting along? Is it us sharing philosophy? Wow. Is it us having tasks that we're expected to carry out? What does that look like?
We can call each other brother and sister and mean it. That's what it means to me. Mm-hmm. You know, but we got your back, you got our back. You know, that's what I'm talking about, solidarity, when I say that, unity. You know, yeah.
Real talk. DJ Leonard, we've been talking with Leonard Peltier, which is such an honor. Did you have a couple of questions for your first cousin?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, thank you, Leonard, for your sacrifice and the courage that you have and you continue to have. It's inspired so many people internationally, and you know, there's a lot of international solidarity from all parts of the world, and last two or three years, you know, ever since he told me about Vine Deloria Jr., I'm just fascinated with reading his research and his books. And, you know, I've been honored to, you know, carry on the traditions in underground hip hop. And I know there's a lot of artists that wish they could be here today on this interview. And I'm just honored to be your cousin. And I'm just have as much gratitude that you're home now, and I hope to visit you soon, and thank you for everything and helping also advocate for my mom, Carol Robidoux, and
I'd like to mention a little bit about that too.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that we tried to make publicly known, that
yes,
a lot of our kids are not, they're not our kids, our grandfathers when they were children, grandmothers were stolen from us.
And yes,
some were put into slavery, and some were sold, just outright sold. And I want you to know, this happened to me, to DJ here, my cousin. His mom was stolen when she was about 3 years old or less. I personally went through that with my family. And right now, I'm trying to help her to get this exposed, because when those families that bought her or whatever, I think they bought her, they all passed, and they left her and her brother $350,000. 1964, that was a lot of money. And the name is Kaufman in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Their family's got to live a wealthy, because he used it to make their wealth grow, but to enlarge their wealth. And they lived very comfortably where we did not. And that's not right. And by law, that's not right. But I'm working on trying to help Auntie get that funds back from the family. There is a law there that they're supposed to do that. But that's one of the things I'm working with Auntie. That's why I keep encouraging, let's write a book. I got film people in film, but we can now more so. And I'd like to tell her story and put it out there. Maybe.
And I'm glad you bring that up, because that's something that has never been resolved, those type of practices. And we have to expose that. And that's the type of history that gets erased, that should be brought to the forefront when they remove that type of reference from museums and
these
what have you.
Really, these things really happen to us. And they also happen to the blacks, too. So, but these things really happen to us. And America should know that. A lot of stuff that they're just not learning about, the atrocities that committed to us. They say, I didn't know that happened. And, it did happen. Okay, maybe we can't turn back to the days that it happened and stop it. That's part of the history. But it should be revealed so it don't happen again, and or just stop it from happening again. And unfortunately, we're not able to do that. And again, I got to bring up Gaza. You know, that murder that's going on, or that genocide that's going on over there, American people, you're just as responsible when you stay silent and you don't bring it out. You don't say, stop this murder and stop this genocide. Stop it. There is some people out in the streets. There is. I'm not saying it's total silent, but the media is keeping it silent. And we got to start shutting those stations off. That's what we did in the 60s and 70s. We said, oh, you don't want to tell the truth to the public? You want to cover it up? Here. And when they start turning off those TVs, by the millions, they change their tune quicker. You know, and this is something we got to do. We got to organize in that way. We've got to tell people, shut those son of a bitch stations up. I've basically shut them off now. And all I listen to is YouTube music.
Right. Leonard Peltier is with us this afternoon. I started off the show by pointing out that for many people, you have been a symbol of resistance. You and Asada and others that have been, who've made those sacrifices and have spent time in these concentration camps and dungeons put up by our government. Who do you look towards? You know, who have you admired in the past, and are there people now that you look to and you say, you know what, I really like what they're doing. I think we should build.
My hero was my people, Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, Geronimo, all those, He Dog, American Horse, all those people that were the Shawnee chief. It slipped my mind at the moment. He was a great warrior. Great warrior. I'm having little problems remembering names and stuff. So it's not something, I'm just not just making this up, but it's in their history. Those were my heroes, and they're still my heroes. But when I get into the modern times, I liked Shea very much. Shea was a great man to me. Then in the Panthers, there was some guys that I admired very well, and I was in prison with some of them, and those are my heroes. That's who I believe are my heroes. And I kind of like John Kennedy too. He was all right.
Right.
He was the best president we ever had.
But, do you look at some of the movements that are unfolding now that you feel are moving in a direction that we should amplify?
I haven't really heard of anybody out there yet. who's out there in front and making a lot of speeches or not. I haven't really heard of anybody. Nobody's catching my attention anyway. So,
what about the movements, different movements or formations?
Well, this is something, of course, you don't hear it on the mainstream media. And I don't really know because I went blind and I lost 80% of my vision, so I can't read the materials I used to be able to read. Right. And I have a hard time turning on the TVs. I can't even turn this on because I can't see. I have to have my caretaker do that. So I haven't been able to keep up on who's who in the movements and who's doing what. But I know there's somebody. I know. I mean, they just, I'm not aware of who they are. That's all, at the moment.
Appreciate that. You know, I know your time is short, and I want to thank you for taking time out and joining us this afternoon. Yeah. As we close out, Leonard Peltier, three steps that you want people listening to take moving forward, three things that you feel would bring about liberation, three things that maybe will reconcile something that needs to be fixed. But what three pearls of three jewels that you want to leave us with?
I have to go back to what I continue to say, unity. But start participating too. If you get, if you can and you're not, go out there and demonstrate with those people, And I'm not advocating violence. I'm not advocating nothing like this. But I am asking you to prepare for any kind of defense that you might have to make. And you have a right. You have a right to defend yourself. But I'm not advocating violence because that wouldn't do me no good. It would probably end me right back up in a cell again. But I'm not advocating it anyway. So I got to be cautious of what I say too. I can't just get out there and start speaking out like I'd like to. So you guys, everybody out there has got to understand. I don't want to go back to the die. This time I'll die because I can't. I probably couldn't. I was on the verge of dying before I got out, and now I got started to get my health back and stuff like that. But
I think you said it over and over again.
If I went back now and they cut me off my medications and everything like this that I'm on, then a couple of years I'll be dead. I ain't scared of it. I don't give a shit. They do kill me; it don't matter. But I would like to die here with my people. Speaking out to when I can,
Leonard Peltier, we appreciate you very much. And
thank you very much.
As DJ said earlier,
I want to say thank you for all the work you've done to help me, man. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, that's the very least we could do. You made the sacrifice. The least we can do is keep the story going, keep the focus on.
It was part of my oath, man. So, fight and die for the people. So the sacrifice I made was just nothing to me. It was just part of the struggle. I didn't think when I got out that I would get this. I knew I had a lot, but I didn't think it would be like this when I got out. I mean, people are still helping and still helping me keep my refrigerator full and stuff like this. And I never thought it would happen. So, I'm not getting large. I want this understood now that I'm not getting large amounts of money from people. That's not happening. But I don't want it to happen either. So, but because I got jealous people already making stories up. I'm also rich and all the booze. But that's one thing I want people to know.
Yeah, what we do know is that you are 10 toes down and still committed to the struggle and reminding us that we have a responsibility to do that.
I'm not changing there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
They can't do what they did to me and to my people to think that they're going to defeat me. No. I'll die with my beliefs. You know, and I don't think I'm wrong. I don't think we are wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong for what they did. And that's what I'm going to die with, you know, those beliefs. And I hope I'm going to be around another 15, 20 years. I don't know. And say, except for the medical problems I have now are treatable. And my body's in pretty good shape yet, and I should live another 20 years. So let's hope they're right, you know. But yeah. I hope I can take care of myself. You know, I can still shower and go to the bathroom and everything else on my own without somebody helping me. So I hope if I gotta get that bad, then I don't wanna be a problem to anybody, and hope I do pass on. But for the meantime, I'm still in the battle.
So. Those are words to end on. Leonard Peltier, thank you so much. Thank you for your sacrifice. And you inspire us to continue to walk in those footsteps and build upon those legacies. Yes.
Well, I hope I bring to everybody. I hope that I bring you the spirit. I hope the spirit in you comes alive. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Hard Knock. Turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program. Turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man. Chris Juwan Kim. Yeah. Innovation. Stimulating ill conversation. Anything else? Just imitation. Simulation. Step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio. Let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Yeah, right. Feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kind of crazy though. Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Yeah. Come on.
Check out. Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats trying to eat till they get it from the steel grave. Say please. Maybe it'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say some peace to the lovers I name with a please. Hey, there's some shade on
Real Talk Radio.
You are now rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast. Dance out.
Brothers, sisters, mis hermanos y mis hermanas, comrades. You may think you know something about solitary, but in truth, you don't. You may have a loved one in prison who's experienced it and told you about it. But still, I say, you don't know it. You know the word. And between the word and reality, a world exists. You don't know that world. But the closest we may come is to say it must be like life on another planet, one where the air is different, where the water is different, where wildlife and flora and fauna mean different things. For as you know the word torture, you don't know how it feels. The pain, the loss, the humiliations all elude you. For solitary is torture, state torture, official torture, government-sanctioned torture. Some may call that hyperbole or exaggeration, but I've lived in solitary longer than many, most perhaps, Americans have been alive. I've seen men driven mad as a hatter by soul-crushing loneliness. Men who have sliced their arms until they look like railroad tracks, or sliced their necks, or burned themselves alive. This isn't something I've read about in psychology books or newspaper reports. I've seen it with these eyes, which I write these words. I've smelled the blood. I've smelled the nauseating stench of the smoke. Why? Because humans are social creatures, and solitary confinement kills that which is human within us. Now, why did these men do these things? We can't really know. But if I could guess, I'd say they simply wanted to feel something, to feel as if they were alive. I've seen men beaten while handcuffed, shocked with tasers and electrified shields, and gas with pepper gas, really a form of liquid cayenne pepper, which inflames the eyes, nasal passages, and mouth. As America embarks on its second century of mass incarceration, breaking every repressive record ever made, it's also breaking every record in regards to solitary confinement, locking up, isolating, and torturing more and more people for more and more time. As I've noted elsewhere, like in my Live from Death Row, for example, in 1890, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case In Re Medley, held that solitary confinement for a man on Colorado's death row was unconstitutional. In a sense, over a century later, the law has lurched backwards. Today, such an idea would be considered laughable, if not unthinkable. According to some estimates, there are over 100,000 people in solitary across the country. I happen to believe this is a conservative estimate. But no matter the number, the reality is stark. Under international law, solitary confinement is torture. Period. And if it happens to one man, one woman, one child, it is torture nonetheless, and a crime under international law, or, put another way, the law of nations. That's because such a policy has one primary purpose: to destroy human beings by destroying their minds. Is it cruel and unusual, and thus violative of the Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution? Apparently, this was so in the 1890s, but not so in the present, probably because of who was in prison then and who are now. It may surprise you to know that at the end of the 19th century, blacks were a distinct minority of American prisoners. And while numbers certainly swelled post-slavery to build the prison contract labor industry, really slavery by another name, the biggest bounce in black imprisonment came in the aftermath of the civil rights and black liberation movements, when black people en masse opposed the system of white supremacy, police brutality, and racist injustice. And then the empire strikes back. Indeed, never in the history of the modern world have we seen such a vast machinery of repression. And the U.S. is the world's undisputed leader in imprisonment of its citizens. Neither China, Russia, nor any other nation comes close. As scholar and law professor Michelle Alexander has aptly described it, the U.S. has reconstituted the new Jim Crow. And as prison populations explode, the law becomes increasingly more supportive of this repression, increasingly more supportive of solitary, and less tolerant of the notion of equal rights or even equal access to courts. These factors have continued to be a problem irrespective of whether under Republican or Democratic administrations, for repression is apparently truly bipartisan. But all is not gloom and doom. People have the power to transform their grim realities. All they have to do is fight for it, organize. When people get together and fight together, they create change, they make change. If you want to shut down solitary confinement, you can do it. You've got to organize and fight for it. If you find the prison industrial complex intolerable, then organize and fight it. This is not Pollyannish or pie in the sky. This is as gritty and as down to earth as spinach. It's as real as dirt, as real as steel, as real as blood, as real as life. Whenever any social advance has happened, it's because people fought for it, often against their own government. For governments ever embraced the status quo. During the U.S. Civil War, one of Lincoln's severest critics was Frederick Douglass, the fiery black ex-slave and abolitionist. When Lincoln died a few years later, Douglass would both mourn his passing and laud his accomplishments. It was Douglass who said, "Power concedes nothing without demand. It never has and never will." That lesson of our ancestor is still true. We must demand what we want and fight for it, period. If we want the closing of solitary confinement, we can make it happen. If we want people like Delbert Africa, Mike Africa, Russell Maroon Schultz, Janet Africa, Phil Africa, Janine Africa, Chuck Africa, Debbie Africa, Leonard Peltier, Jaleel Montekin, Ed Africa, or Mutulu Shakur freed, we can make it happen. If we want prison abolition, we can make it happen. Really, truly. But we gotta fight for it. We must organize, because movements make change. So let us build such a movement so that it shakes the very earth. Don't rely on voting, for politics is but the cruel art of betrayal. Rely on working together and fighting for change. For power concedes nothing without demand. Build a movement. Let us go forth and make the change we want. For we are the hope of more people than we know. And people make change. On the move. Long live John Africa. Power concedes nothing without demand. Down with solitary. Shut Attica down. Down with the prison industrial complex. From Imprisoned Nation, this is your brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
What he said was so clear, so true, that I had to stop everything and concentrate on his message.
We need masters in biology, zoology, to overtake Illuminati trick knowledge. Transform, reciprocate your mental state. Now make a date to overtake your objective. Show that through life that everything is connected. But not in categories, cause that's the devil's story. Symbols of cannibalism ruin your vision. Your thoughts formulate in your mind with no precision.
He paid a cruel price for what they call life. Dealt with it briefly, took him out that night. Some ask why, but say they hate the look in his eyes. Like a child of ill omen, they want him crucified. The last on the battlefield, the last alive. Beside, they don't want the African to survive. Sabo, the son of Satan, was involved in the plot. Legalized the homicide,
yo,
the soul going right.
In attempted assassination of Mumia Jamal, they set him up. I come to find out, Tupac, they wet him up. Pharaoh, standing behind my curtains with a double bow, rehearsing. Ready for war now, for certain. Biological warfare suits, black gas masks, black boots, hats become troops. My guns are dope, but warriors are booty now. Plenty thug, it's a fruity now.
Freedom is that cold road seldom traveled. By the multitude, we need to dig through this gravel so we can cultivate this food. Motivate a few of you fools, regenerate the mood. Free ourselves from mental bondage, free ourselves from family feuds. And follow me through this prophecy. Building our colonies where our pillars and columns be. Bigger than the Coliseum, I call them like I see them. The devil does the devil dance. Now they wanna murder Mumia, take action, it's the only
chance.
They
tell me, son, grab a gun or two. Money gon' come to you. Stop rhyming about what white people done to you. Look, burn a blunt or two. Screw who you wanna screw. Do what you wanna do, and let sin win for you. Kill all that teacher, it's too much cheese to get. And if Jesus exists, just don't believe in it. Eat the bread of wickedness. Join the global Satanists. Give death row sentences to black revolutionists.
Now they were playing God. Just to feel the power, not to justify that of you and I. Holding daggers up and letting you decide. After passing information that's falsified. Stand behind a lie, what does it cost to die? What does it cost to live? Why do they specify these terms of why? When they ain't the most high, what they fear they will kill, but the soul will never die.
Three seasons, legions and demons, bleeding heathens and even Stevens. I wandered through regions, these freezing evenings and grieving. Till grieving reasons would freeze cats like Cleveland. Now she's seeming like semen, sliding home on the Deacon. Leaving my mental from potential through Mumia's mind. Behind these bars, diamonds scarred for the cause. I climb on 50 schemes to lock cats and Mars like dogs. The fog will clear like tears after a resolution. This daily fight through revolution.
You see, the capital thugs got nervous, cause he refused to be their servant. Cause he spit truth that shook cats and burn like black churches. Prose and verses, filled with a million black hearses. Watch, see, decision of Dred Scott as it reverses. So long as they rope is tied around with Mumia's neck, let there be no rich white life we bound to respect. Cause and effect, can't you smell the smoke in the breeze? my panther, my brother, we are at war until you're free.
My muggers to the front line, ready with guns cocking. We'll storm the prisons, get the wards rocking. Snipe all the FBI and cops clocking. Philly officials' bodies dropping. Avenge the 85 bombing. Eye for an eye, we'll hang them by the Capitol steps. Snap they necks, snatch they vests, equip my children with text. People protecting feds, calling murder legal execution. Free the righteous, I face the bloody revolution.
Yo, federal indictment, militant mind, enlightenment. Son, we outburst in the courtroom, full of excitement. Face the jury, thugged out with blind fury. They want us all under the jail, end of the story. Brave and heartless, we can have a million marches. But when you black, you under attack, son. Regardless, live by the gun, done, and die by the gun. And revolutionize minds until freedom won.
Bloody murder, inside of my head. The execution is blocked, controlled by the feds.
We watch wizards play games and watch it turn with your life. Swung with Spider-Man, now we swing websites. W.Hell's Kitchen living ill condition. Body cloning, switching, CIA lynching. Mumia trapped in prison. Marilyn Manson mainstream. Aliens visiting. My skin's a misdemeanor when Siren B screams. And wonder why the live channel got attitude. The times got us heated like 0 degrees latitude.
Can you keep a secret like society? The eye is on the rooftop. They got me in a surveillance like they had Biggie and Tupac. Yo, I saw two rocks, heard two shots, the level of my view dropped. They crazed me but didn't faze me, I fired back and hit two cops. Yo, I bubble through the jungle like Indiana Jones. With the key to unlock the science, a microphone's hit reverse, disperse. Hysteria on planet Earth because the first shall be last and the last shall be first.
Yo, if Mumia dies, fires in the skies, rebel cries, we politicize. Brothers with the lies uncovered, look for me in the whirlwind. Dead to struggle, dead to win. Long live the Panthers, comrades with answers. Freeing all political prisoners of war, freeing the poor, open the door. Keep your hands off Assata, stop the ism, schism, prison economy that we live in. Impeach the president, keep on fighting till they give in.
I say the police, cause they've been killing us for years. This ain't no free country, just get murdered for their ideas. Free Mumia means all Africans let go, cause just living in the ghetto put you on death row. You don't know? You seen how they try to do a sauna to some real disorganized themselves and went and got her. A lot of crackers verbalize if Mumia dies. Fire in the skies, but only time will tell the truth from the lies.
Hard Knock Radio. We're rocking with Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
And my last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
are listening to KBOO Portland.
I'm Don Jacobson, one of the hosts of Moving On, here every Friday right after the noon news. Moving On isn't the only place to hear folk music on KBOO every weekday from